advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Got a thick rim.
It does.
Small hole. How do you like it? Nice and tight.
What are we talking about?
The whiskey bottle.
Oh.
That was like a Three's Company thing. Yeah, Mr. Furley was just outside the door questioning every word.
Yep.
How you doing, gentlemen?
But on the real though, we were talking about Hudson whiskey.
It's been a while.
We got a Hudson whiskey single malt. And we fucked up the label. It dribbled. It's because the rim is weird. Dribbled.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It poured down and fucked up the label.
It's wax sealed and it has a fat rim with a skinny hole.
Yes.
Which I'm pretty sure there was an official way of doing that, but I butchered it. I used my pocket knife and just cut the wax. I don't know how you're supposed to really do that.
You're supposed to peel it off.
Yeah. I pulled on the bump thing and it didn't peel. It just broke off.
Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I hope their whiskey's better than their wax.
We were just
Who
talking
sent
about,
this to us?
It's
Mike DeFrancisco and Kaylee. Kylie.
And the German Shepherd's
Whore. Stick. Yeah, yeah, German Shepherd Whore.
That's what a weird 7 degrees of a nickname that she ended up with.
Yeah, that's how you get nicknames.
Exactly.
You don't pick your nickname. Yeah.
She's
happened.
She's the German Shepherd Whore. don't blame me.
Dave didn't pick Orange Crotch.
No, exactly. You just have an orange crotch and that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the one thing that stands out about you.
Right.
We're going to try this? Or is it too early? Am I just jumping into it? Am I overly excited about trying this whiskey?
What's that big ass? Clean. Jesus Christ.
Bitch, I went and got another glass from upstairs.
Look at that.
You would complain. Bring your own fucking glass. You would complain no matter what.
This is my own fucking glass.
I took one for the team and
we need to hire a
cleaning lady. Wash the residue out of the last one.
A Heinemacher Frau?
Something. Is that what that is?
Yes.
Cleaning lady? Heinemacher Frau. That's what I'm talking about.
Just sturdy.
Very unique.
That is
different.
Almost.
It almost tastes like a cola.
That's what we said about the other one, though. We said that about the other one.
It does have a cola aftertaste.
It's got like a cola.
It's the same company, though.
No, the other one was this one. We didn't drink that one.
We haven't tried the other one from that.
Right, we drank Black Dirt.
Oh. We drank the Black Dirt. That was it. No, it's very cola like.
That one. Yeah. It's a very dark label.
And I have to say, it smells. Even though the taste does not translate, thank God, it smells a little bit like a gym crotch.
I thought you were going to say Badoosie, which is close.
A little bit.
You know what Badoosie is?
I don't know.
It's butt, dick, ass, and pussy.
Well,
Badoosie.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
that's
fucking
you,
Badoosie, right?
Yeah, that's when it's summertime and you have sex in the bedroom and you walk out to go get a drink of water. You think everything's cool. And then you walk back in and you're like, damn, turn the ceiling fan.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, it smells like Badoosie in here.
Yeah, real thing.
Badoosie.
I'm surprised you've never heard of that.
No, I haven't ever heard of it.
One man's Dutch oven is another man's Badoosie.
Yeah.
like grandma used to say.
Yeah. So we have a question.
Oh, uh-huh.
This one's from Aaron Nicholas Edge.
Mm-hmm. Edge?
Yeah, Aaron Nicholas Edge. Three names, like we care.
Okay.
Again, we don't care about your middle name. He crochets cock pillows for a living on Etsy. You can find him at Wildhead Cock. If you had a baby with three arms, would you keep it and put it in the circus, or would you throw it in a dumpster and set it on fire because it's Satan's spawn?
Those are my only two options.
That's what
he
gave
us. Go to the circus?
If those are my two options, then it's all about the circus.
I mean,
you can't teach it to kick ass at PlayStation.
He asked.
Nobody can press all those buttons.
Right.
Or am I just old? I'm just old. Huh? So many buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the only options you have. There are other options, I'm sure.
There's other options. I mean, you could
circus or...
I'll be honest.
Never mind. The option I thought of is basically circus. I was going to say you could teach him to play harmonica and masturbate at the same time.
He could. You could. That's
pretty... sounds like a train.
That's pretty much circus.
He does dual magic. Yeah. Like, that's... Man.
Just heavy breathing into a fucking harmonica.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's how you could cut the arm off.
Yeah, that's a waste of an arm.
Not really.
If the arm's fully functional, why would you cut it off?
I don't know.
I would just hide it. Do magic. Because
then you have a third really fucking
good at magic.
Arm.
Yeah, you could be really good at magic. You can just pull it out of your sleeve and put the other arm back out.
You'd like do dishes and smoke a cigarette at the same time. Yeah. There's like all sorts of purposes. there's so much.
Pillowcases with a double chin, a problem no more.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so much you could do.
Yeah.
And the other question is the third arm going to be right-handed, left-handed, or like third?
It's ambidextrous.
Oh,
yeah.
If he gets in a fight, there's no more hold my beer.
Exactly.
He just holds onto the beer.
So much potential.
And then still holds the beer.
Yeah. Hmm. But again, all of these options are still leaning towards circus.
I don't know.
He could be
I'll be honest. I'm still thinking
he could be the
cock pillows that he makes. Like, is there a link?
You could call him the Pilsner Pugilist and he drinks a beer while he fights.
The Pilsner Pugilist. That's a fancy fight.
Yeah.
That's old school.
Do you rest your weary cock on the pillow? Like, what happens with a cock pillow?
Cock pillows?
I think I have a cock
sweater.
It
might be shaped like cocks. I don't know.
Oh.
I just read what they send me.
I mean, we used to offer, and some of our sponsors had dick pillows. Is that the same as a cock pillow?
No, I think it's different.
It could be birds.
I think
it
a dick pillow.
Cocks, the roosters.
I think a dick pillow is a pillow that looks like a dick, and a cock pillow
is
a pillow made for
pillow?
Your cock.
Are you guys talking about a pillow?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's soft pillows.
It could be
they're like gummy vitamins are considered pillows.
It could be pillows shaped like a cock, or they could be rooster pillows.
I think cock just denotes like confidence. You call it a dick, it's like, you're probably average.
It's true.
You say cock, you're like, that's fucking right.
It's like saying fuck.
Yeah.
I have a sweater for this shit. Look at it.
That's exactly.
Yeah. I cut
exactly
the sleeve, off my old hoodie.
It's just like you have a beer and then you put a sweater on the beer.
Right.
And it makes it like something else.
You lost me there, but.
Same thing.
Yeah. Exactly the same thing.
But
exactly.
I do know what I'm going to do with my old hoodie.
Put it on your cock.
I'm going to fuck the sleeve after I cut the sleeve off.
You could put it on the third arm of the baby. Keep that warm.
That is a problem, though. If you do keep the arm. Unless he just tucks it in his pants.
Well,
It depends on the placement. If it's like alien, it's coming out of the stomach.
It's also only a problem for the first number of years because then he can work a sewing machine while he turns pages of a book. Like you're not thinking globally. Exactly. You're not thinking globally.
He's making your coffee while he's taking your order.
Exactly.
Like, it's insane.
Legit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm burning it in the dumpster fire. That's what I'm doing.
It.
Well, all sex aside, gender doesn't even matter. You have three arms.
Right.
It's a creature of Satan.
Right.
It's an it. It's a demon.
Because whatever gender you are, you're taking care of yourself.
Yes.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's a masturbating machine if it's got three arms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever gender it is.
Yep.
Do you have a Techo winner?
Yeah. Anna Hodge, you are the Techo winner for this week.
What'd they do?
Anna Hodge. They made fake food, made a fake post with fake food, with fake El Yucateco, because apparently they don't have any real food or any El Yucateco. So
they do now.
Yeah.
What's her name? Ann Hodge?
Anna
Hodge.
Yep.
Anna Hodge. This pin sucks.
So congratulations, Anna Hodge. You are the winner of the El Yucateco hot sack. And
this week, I'll tell you what, it's not a hot sack lately. It's been a hot box.
Hot box.
Yeah, because I figured out I can actually send you like full bottles of hot sauce with your prizes and effectively and economically ship that to you using.
So you're getting the hot box.
Hot box.
You are getting the hot box. Hopefully you have a hot box.
Four hot boxes went out. If you got a hot box, post it.
If you like the hot box, you can win a hot box.
And the hot box is brought to you by El Yucateco.
It's like a $5 box. It's a value meal, value box.
It costs more than $5 to even ship it.
Ooh,
so this is a good, substantial hot box.
Substantial hot box.
Thanks.
Skull member of the month, Rye Amick. Plays in a girls' softball league on the weekends against 13-year-old girls. How does he pull it off? Wigs, makeup, and he tucking the balls.
Mm.
Those girls never knew what hit them.
Yeah.
So thanks, Rye Amick. You are the skull member of the month.
I forgot how to really say his name again. Hey.
Rye.
Hey, Amick.
Amick.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
So green, so green jacket.
You actually say it Roamick.
Roamick. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Proper. So Roamick, you are the Skull Member of the Month. Get a new name. Maybe go down to Social Security office. Try out Juan Gonzalez. There's a bunch of those out there.
Mm-hmm. We could just call him Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel.
Nipple. You did it.
We said it.
Pumpernickel.
You don't get to pick your nickname.
Pumpernickel.
A mistake happens, and now you Pumpernickel.
Now you're Pumpernickel. Yep.
Pumpernickel. Rye the Pumpernickel Amick.
Oh, man.
Welcome. Congratulations on your nickname.
Brought to you by Whiskey Lips. Yeah.
Yeah. Already this early.
How have we never said this is like, Pumpernickel before? That's just magical.
10 minutes in and we have whiskey lips already over here.
Well, it's not 10 minutes in for Brent.
No, nah. I haven't. I had the clank ding and then I had the taste.
Sure.
It hit me hard. I haven't eaten yet.
Do you practice clank dings before we get here?
Yeah. There's just a wooden cup over there. I'll dent it up. And a stopwatch.
A wooden cup.
he's gonna be homeless wandering through the fog. You're just gonna hear
like one of the hobo bums.
That's how I justify it.
That's funny. What's going on? What have you guys been doing?
I have a question.
What?
What's the rule at a four-way stop?
I think the person...
Whoever stops first goes first.
If it's a tie, the person on your right goes. But the first person to the intersection...
If it's a tie.
...has the right of way. If it's a tie, the person on the right...
you let the person on the right.
...going counterclockwise. So, yeah. So the right. That works, yeah.
So the person to your right goes before you.
Yeah. In the case of a tie.
Kind of let them, unless they tell you to go. Okay. Then you can go.
Why? You're going to get mad at someone you realize it was okay?
No.
No. He beat up a homeless fucking man.
No, I knew that was the way it works, and that's fine.
I'm surprised I remembered that.
Yeah. You sure it's not the person to the left?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the right.
It's the right.
God damn it.
I think that's like there's a little mnemonic thing about that, too.
Person to the right goes first. Person to the right.
And that's
goes
right.
First.
That's how you know it's right.
Yeah.
That they went because they're on the right or something like that. Yeah. I think.
All right. Then that's settled.
Apparently, they don't say cunt in the UK. I thought that was a thing. I thought they say it all the time, like it was socially acceptable.
I think they say cunt.
Not apparently. No.
Oh, in the UK. That's Australia.
Yeah. In the UK, I thought they just said cunt. Like it was just whatever. Like
Australia
it was a regular
says
word
cunt.
There. Yeah, the lady at Subway was pissed at me. I thought it was a normal thing to do and apparently not socially acceptable. Like
she was from the UK?
Well, she had an accent.
You called her a cunt?
Shelly, hello, Mr. Brent. What would you like on your sandwich?
Yeah.
A fucking cunt.
Hey, fucking cunt. I want turkey and cheese, bitch.
I couldn't figure out why she was looking at me crazy.
She's angry. Yeah. She had one wonky eye.
She was pissed. I mean, by the horse teeth and the accent, I thought I was in the clear.
Right.
But
is this at Subway?
Apparently, it was Subway, yeah. I'm always eating fresh these days.
Yeah, you
the fucking bread, though, is starting to be like a sponge to me. Like, that shit's not fresh. It is
not good.
It's kind of like cardboardy. Like,
all of the people that work at Subway are cunts. So, yeah. You're fine. In that sense, you're fine.
It's just the way I used it in the wrong situation, I guess.
I think they don't know that they're cunts.
You have to, it's indirect.
Yeah.
It's allowed to say, look at this cunt making my sandwich versus, excuse me, cunt.
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
Exactly.
Which is what went down.
Exactly.
You know?
I went, Mrs. Vic's jalapeno chips, cunt.
Yeah. Hey, cunt, hand me a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Those are the best chips, by the way.
What do you want? What do you want
those
for
those are good. The kettle cooked. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want for your drink? I don't know, cunt. What do you want? Yeah.
What would you drink, cunt?
Yeah.
I can't make
I think
up
that's
my
good.
Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always using it wrong.
They use cunt's ketchup.
Yeah. Is there a right way to use it? Really, though?
To use what?
When you're really mad and you're just like, I don't care. This girl's going to be really mad at me. That's when you use it. When you just don't care anymore.
I'm going to fuck your cunt so hard.
I mean,
or
it's pretty
during
much
aggressive that. Sex, you can use it. Yeah.
It's kind of the last American swear word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like most other words aren't going to get a shock response from most people, but that word will still. Come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're all cunt. Game over. That's it. Yeah. The whistling comes
in. I don't know
in,
what just
the
happened.
Mood changes. The lights dim. And that's when you know cunt's coming out. Friendship over. Done. Because you don't care. It was the last swear word.
It's like a showdown?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what just happened.
It's like draw.
A swear showdown.
Mm-hmm. Draw.
Yeah. And that's when you pulled out the big gun. It's over.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah. See, once again, I'm doing it wrong.
You know what's really offensive to white people is calling them the N-word. That works every time.
Right. What is the N-word? I'm not familiar.
River Niger.
Nefertiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Nefertiti's. Yeah. Bastards.
So you're sure it's to the right?
It's to the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It could be to the left, though.
Carry on.
Everything in your own is in the box.
Why don't you look on the DMV website?
That's work.
Brad's actually looking.
Stop rules. Let's see.
I
mean, tell your story as if.
So it says at a four-way stop, if two vehicles reach the intersection simultaneously, the vehicle on the left must yield to the right of way to the vehicle on the right.
So but tell your story. I want to hear how you were wrong. No, and you road raged. That's a lie.
No, there's not a particular story. No. There's a
argument.
There's a years long animosity that I've now learned is misplaced. There's no individual story. There's no one time.
Oh, because the car on the left was waiting for you. And then the
car on the right always fucking goes when I'm waiting for the car on the left to go. And I'm like, what a fucking cunt.
He's waiting for you.
Like that fucking guy. Like, what
is that
the
our new
fuck?
Thing? That's just cunt now. You fucking cunt.
We're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're bringing them all back.
So I will now have to readjust my. I think I just got.
You're gonna
Mandela
have to get mad
affected.
At something else.
I just got Mandela.
No, I think it's always been that way.
Well, here.
In this Mandela?
Exactly.
In this effect, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, maybe. Where I was from, it wasn't that
it was
way.
Different. Yeah, I don't know. I've always known it to be that way.
It might be. It might have to do with the way that the water goes down the toilet when you flush. Does it? Which way does our water go, though?
Maybe.
It depends on the toilet.
No, I know. It's clockwise. And
it goes
on the
down.
Opposite of the earth, it goes
down. Here it goes down.
It does go down. Yeah, it goes down. In Australia, it goes up and hits them in the fucking face. That's why they're always acting like that.
That's where blimey
is. Is that where their hair's messed up all the time?
Pissing their face all day.
Speaking of messed up hair, what are we talking about today?
Mick motherfucking Foley.
Yeah.
So I want to preface this episode with something.
It's not a normal episode.
No, it is a normal episode.
But this one's a normal episode.
No, don't bring that.
Wait a minute.
Don't bring that here. There's no place.
Wait a minute. Sir.
I want to preface this episode.
I thought this was a bonus episode.
By saying if you are not a fan of professional wrestling, or if you are a fan of professional wrestling and you haven't seen some particular matches with Mick Foley, that before you listen to this episode, you should probably pause and you should go watch some episodes. Specifically, you should go watch the Hell in a Cell from 1998 between him and The Undertaker. It's one of the all-time classics of wrestling, and we're going to talk about it a lot.
In the WWF.
In the WWF,
yeah.
But we're going to talk about it a lot. And if you've never seen it and you see it, you're just going to be full of holy fucking shit moments throughout the match. And we're going to talk about those moments later on. And I'm just giving you fair warning that you should watch it first, because once we talk about it, it's not going to be quite as holy fucking
shit. I think you have to have an appreciation for whether you like wrestling or not. This particular wrestler is pretty much as big as he is because of what he's done. Like he has done so much more for entertainment, I should say, than he's taken entertainment to the extreme.
Yes.
Like this guy's Evel Knievel with his body.
Yeah.
I think it made me realize, because a lot of people are like, oh, wrestling's fake. Oh, it's all choreographed. They know the outcome. Yeah. But
of course.
There's some
it's entertainment.
There is some flex to the left and right.
Yeah,
absolutely. They make decisions of like, I'm going to move the pad. And then he's like, hey, homie, throw me down here from 16 feet. And the fucking dude does it. You know what I mean?
They
don't expect. They go off of course.
Because
and sometimes they don't like each other.
Right. Right.
So when I'm throwing you off of the top of a roof,
I might make sure.
And you're falling 15 feet. I might make sure you're just slightly left of the table that you're supposed to land on to break your fall.
Right.
Right.
And you get hurt.
And that shit goes down. Because normally the head writers, and if you're in WWF, then it's coming down ultimately from Vince McMahon, but it's coming down from his staff of
looks
writers.
Old now,
yeah,
man.
He does.
Finally caught up with him.
But
all the growth hormone in the world's not gonna make him young.
No.
But he'll say, okay, so you two are gonna go in about halfway through the match. Like, it's going to be a 12-minute match. Halfway through, so-and-so needs to get put through a table. You're going to do your finishing move, but you're going to get hit with a chair before it works. And then so-and-so's going to get ready to win, but someone's going to do a run-in from offstage, and you know, and that's it. That's all you know. And then
everything else is improvised.
And some wrestlers go in.
Tons of speeches where McFoley's just talking for fucking
that's
like,
just them.
God, because
that's just purely
actually, it's pretty like well spoken and like well.
No, that's purely them.
It's better than porn acting for sure. Porn acting sucks.
And I mean, it really. I mean, you have to be an amazing athlete. You have to have an amazing tolerance for pain, and to really become top of the game, you have to have charisma, and you have to be able to speak.
The Rock, you know, absolutely. Dwayne Johnson,
absolutely.
Man, Stone Cold, silly back in the day, though.
But he was still so awesome. They all did. Yeah, they all did.
And it fit for the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mick Foley has looked the same,
right,
through everything. You know,
but then it's like you look at somebody else. Like you'll get someone like Triple H, who I love. I think Triple H is dope, but he doesn't quite have that charisma. So he kind of, I mean,
alive?
he's still doing it. I mean, he's good and he does his thing, but
he's married to Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, he is. Mm. He's never quite at the top because he doesn't have that juice. You know what I mean? So
he did for a little while.
He
was in it for a minute.
But so this is Mick Foley, and I think Mick Foley got voted up on our list of topics from the listeners on our Facebook group. If you aren't a member, you should join it. It's the unofficial SK Ultra.
Just search that. Yeah.
Yep. Search it, join it. It's good times. But I believe the reason it got mentioned is because we mentioned Mick Foley several times on the Evel Knievel episode. Cause we were just like, wow, Evel Knievel wasn't even especially a good stunt man. He was just fucking stupid enough to keep doing it. And at the end of the day, a lot of people would say that about Mick Foley, like the shit he like, he's definitely a good wrestler. He's got the technical chops to be a good wrestler, but his thing is how much fucking punishment he can take and keep doing the match.
You know what I thought
and it's
about?
Unbelievable.
Like, would you be willing if you knew that you would come out of it unharmed, basically, just for the scenario of it, would you be willing to let the Undertaker throw you off that fucking thing and then smash you through the chain link and let the chair fall on your face? And you experience all of the pain and the falling and everything.
Oh, for sure.
But ultimately,
I'm not going to be crippled.
30 seconds later, everything's back to good. It was just like, it was a ride, you know, virtual experience. Yeah. I'm curious to be like, was it that crazy? You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, he fell a long way. He landed on a table, but they're really good at that fucking stunt acting and falling.
I mean, the
how
ring,
much are they
the ring in the WWF, it's, it was,
I mean,
it
his
wasn't
tooth
really
was in his fucking nose.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like when they get hit with the chair in their face.
Yeah.
They get hit with the chair in their face.
They're really like, bleeding. Yeah.
They're getting hit. Well, I mean, they have juicing, you know what I mean? Where they take razor blades and they cut their forehead.
And they kind of put their hand up and they fall with things to make it a little
And there's, I mean, if you're swinging the chair and you're not a dick, you know where to hit to minimize the impact.
And they'll put their arm up or something sometimes.
But you're still hitting someone with a fucking folding metal chair.
You know what I thought about that made me feel like a pussy was like when he pours those tacks out and then picks him up and throws him down on like, 1,000 tacks, 1,000 brass tacks.
Yeah. There's probably more than that.
Yeah, they're just stuck in his body fucking everywhere. They show a picture of his shoe and the bottom of it is just brass because there were so many faces.
And we did that in high school. So like I got powerbombed off a roof through a table. We used to set tables on fire, jump through them. Like, and you get hurt.
Right.
And I remember we had one of, you know, we were mimicking what Mick Foley and some of these other guys were doing because, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, the death matches that they were doing. That's all we watched. We watched where they had barbed wire wrapped up. They had baseball bats with barbed wire on them. They had bed of nails. They had explosives wired into the barbed wire. So when they hit it, they would explode.
Jesus Christ.
They would get thrown from 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet, hit each other with everything. And I mean, everything. And we would mimic, you know, what these guys were doing in somebody's backyard, you know, and
that's why they have the disclaimer, like, don't try this at home.
And we did it out of fun and we practiced, you know, and, but the thumbtacks, they get stuck in you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, but they don't penetrate, you know, it's just, you pull your shirt and they go, droop, they all come out and they're in your head and you just pluck them out, you know? So I
like your head was in those motherfuckers. Like
they go in. Oof. I mean, they just go into your head. You know, so because we had, you would climb up the ladder because there was a tree hanging over our ring that we had made, you know, it was like a makeshift ring with tires under it. And we had steel cable with water hose over it. Ugh. So we could actually bounce off the ropes. Like it was a legit, like cemented posts, like, and you know, we had like a foam rubber with canvas over the top of it. And so the tacks would be all over the ground. Somebody would be climbing up a ladder to try and reach for the belt that's hung from the tree. Uh-huh. You know, it's some cardboard made like belt that we
TLC
made, you know,
style, yeah.
Yeah, fucking, it's got aluminum foil wrapped, mm-hmm. you know, you know, and then fucking they'd knock them off the ladder and they would fall from,
how
you know,
were
12
you?
Feet. We were in high school. So
yeah, I'm trying to picture 15, like if how much, you know, imagination went into that and how glorious it seems in your memory versus if we had real footage of it, you guys were like, yeah, like reaching for,
no, there's, there is videotape somewhere. We had costumes, like we had entrance music. It was the whole deal.
Nice.
Like it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah. Some of the moves though, we went, because we would go and wrestle like at the pro place here in town, CCWF or whatever it was. And you had to be 18. So when we turned 18, we went and started wrestling.
Strongbow or,
I think so. Yeah. So we went and started wrestling with these like guys who were doing professional, mm-hmm. like real amateur professional wrestling. Right. And they wanted to see tapes of us wrestling, and we showed them, and our finishing moves and stuff, you know, that we would go through these matches and show them stuff. And they were just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, no training. Yeah. No, we're just fucking each other up, dude, doing double front flips and landing on each other. Like, you know, and it was fun, man. Like it was, you know, it was the same thing. You know, you go ride bikes, build giant jumps and fucking fly off of them, you know, and now you just break your leg if you tried it, you know, because you're fucking too old.
Yeah.
But it was fun. But Mick Foley is one of the guys that
inspired.
Yeah. I mean, we had fucking 20 kids out there just fucking mm-hmm. killing each other. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised we didn't die.
Yeah.
Like, because we didn't have the proper, there was no first aid kit around. No. There's fucking, you know,
and that's the other thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, before Mick Foley was doing this level of crazy shit, he spent easily a decade.
Oh, yeah.
Learning his moves, learning how to fall, learning how to land. Yeah. So like the typical high schooler who's just fucking jumping off a ladder is not going to weather that as much as Mick Foley is, because he knows how to land to minimize the damage. And a lot of people don't.
Yeah. And there's the video you were the documentary you were trying to watch, Brent. What was it called?
It's called For All Mankind, The Career of Mick Foley, I think.
Yeah. That thing's insane because it shows, when he's young, he's probably a kid like I was, and he's fucking jumping off the roof onto a pile of wood, like fucking elbow dropping somebody, you know? And, so he started out kind of the same way. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, my friend idolized Mick Foley so hard. Like, it was my roommate, and we worked at PetSmart together, our night crew. And that motherfucker, I just walked away. I was the manager, and they're like stalkers. He's like, all right, we're doing it. And I was like, what is going on over here?
Wrestling.
I fucking come in the corner. He's up on like a fucking like 10 or 12 foot metal rolling ladder. And they had like dog beds down there at the bottom.
He's gonna fucking jump
and, yeah,
into
the other
stalker's
all, just do it on the dog bed. He's all, fuck that, move the dog bed. It's concrete. We're talking about inside a PetSmart. It's fucking concrete slab. And he jumped down and dropped like an elbow and just fuck. I turned around, didn't see it. I just heard slap, like body slap.
Yeah.
And like, like the fucking death thing. He didn't somehow get hurt.
Death rattle.
At some point he broke his rib though, because then I came home one night, because he's also my roommate, and I came home, I just heard it in the garage, through the garage door. I could just hear all this fucking noise, dude. Just fucking ruckus, just shit falling and slamming. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? But I came in the house and had to go like through a bedroom to get to the garage door, and I opened the garage door and he's on top of a fucking like little shitty ladder where he has to duck his head down because the garage isn't that tall.
Yeah, he's bent.
His head's
over
by the fucking rafter.
Right.
He's bent over and he's jumping off and landing on like pieces of plywood that he cut that are laid between wire spools, like wire electrical wire spools.
He's just practicing jumping through.
By himself, dude. Yeah. So nothing to prove. It wasn't like, hey, check me out.
Right.
He's alone. No one's fucking home.
He's just doing it.
But what's funny is he's jumping as high as he can and landing on it and just fucking bouncing off of it, though.
Yeah, it
it's not
break.
Breaking at all. And to the point he actually got fucking hurt.
I mean,
he
bet.
Didn't get a doctor yet.
Yeah, at some point you get hurt. I remember we were in my friend's living room, and wherever we were, matches would break out. Just like this guy. Like fucking there's five of us. And all
shout
of a sudden,
out to Ryan Lindsay. That's who that was. So just in case he ever hears.
Matches would break out. We're at my friend's house. Nobody's home. We're fucking just destroying each other in the living room. His coffee table gets broken. Somebody gets thrown through the wall.
Fuck.
Like through the fucking drywall into the garage. And fucking they're half in and half out. And all of a sudden, the garage door comes open. His fucking mom comes driving in. with fucking homeboy sticking out of the fucking drywall. Oh my, I never seen somebody so pissed in my life.
Oh my God.
She was a single mom with a fucking, like, you know, her son was, he was a big dude, you know, right. Like, and we, like I said, we were in high school.
That's a
fucking
movie scene.
It's fucking, it was hilarious. And, but shit like that would happen to us all the time. We'd break shit and fucking somebody would come home and fucking, you know, we'd just have shit just a mess. Right. You know? But so this is good times. Good times.
This is the legacy of Mick Foley. And he did, I mean, he came up wrestling as a lot of professional wrestlers do. He wrestled, you know, in, he did Greco-Roman wrestling in high school. And he was actually, did you read that he was
friends with Kevin James?
Yeah. Actor. Yeah.
And like, Joe Rogan gives Kevin James a ton of fucking like credit for being like a legit, like athletic, like,
really?
MMA fighter, I guess. Yeah. Like, he has some shit behind him. He's like, he's actually good. You don't picture that.
No.
From like Mall Cop.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, but it you don't have to have a certain body type. Some people are just, you know, athletic. You know?
So, I mean, like Mick Foley, I mean, you look at, I mean, he's the anomaly body type in WWF.
Yeah. He's like the chubby flabby guy running around. He's like, this guy's going to get his ass kicked. And he's flying off building tops.
And then like when I was doing research, I was like, I'm going to watch a ton of like really early Foley matches that I haven't necessarily seen before. Like back when he was like, you know, trim and so, nope.
No, there isn't any.
No, there isn't any. But so allegedly when he was in high school, he went and saw Superfly Jimmy Snuka in a cage match.
He hitchhiked. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently
that, still a thing.
If you can get the footage, you see Mick Foley in the front row.
Yeah, I read that.
I didn't look for it, but yeah, I'm
not just a cool story.
It.
He's standing there.
Yeah. And he said that that really impacted him and made him realize that this was something that he wanted to do. And then he started to pursue it. And at this point he lived in, New York, but he started to train in Pennsylvania under, Dominic DiNucci's wrestling school. And he started to learn the ropes, you know, take his bumps, do all the bullshit
hours to get there.
And I mean, if you want a good idea of what it's like to start as a professional wrestler,
it's not glorious.
It's not glorious. I would almost recommend watching the movie, The Wrestler, even though that's not the beginning of someone's career. It's the end of someone's career, but you still see that lifestyle. You see that I'm sleeping in my car. I'm making $50 to do this.
It's almost
match.
Like a comedian.
Yeah. You just, like, you have to take any gig, any distance. Like, you just want, you know, you just need as much heat as you can get. You need as much exposure as you can get.
It's almost like having your own podcast.
Yeah.
Starting that out.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And broke trying to buy equipment just to get some audio out.
We were in the park talking to pigeons. That's where that all came from. Yeah.
Are we still sleeping in our car metaphorically?
No, we're rich. Okay, podcast nice. Rich now.
That's right. So he, you know, he puts in his stuff. He starts doing tons of squash matches, and he becomes what they call a jobber for the WWF. And if you're a jobber, you're basically just, you know, you're the red shirt.
You're around.
You're just like a dude who shows up, and then somebody else who's getting a little bit of heat who, you know, Vince
they
McMahon,
get to beat you up.
They get to beat you up. Yeah. Yeah. You're the, you go, they'll tell you your name is the Lemon Kid, and fucking, and you just go out and get your ass whooped in front of a crowd. It's probably not going to be televised. You're just like part of the touring circuit. You show up, you get a couple of bucks. And that was pretty much what he did. He wrestled under multiple names. And this is, you also, if you look at his background, you see what kind of every wrestler does, which is you shop around to a million different wrestling groups.
Right.
Like, no one
WWE. You're going to go where they're kind of paying the most money.
Right. You know? And even once you get a decent name, like once you get a big name, you don't necessarily, especially back in the day, like in the 80s and 90s, you weren't necessarily doing at the time WWF. You were going whoever was paying you the most. Now, I mean, there's not much else other than Vince McMahon. So, I mean, there's
TNA. Which that's where Rob Van Dam was staying with, right?
He went there for a while. Now he's kind of doing, he still does matches with them every so often. And he does a lot of like exhibition matches in England and in Japan.
And Rob Van Dam's heyday, Mick Foley was in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this.
And they were both ECW at the same time, like the whole thing. And I was tripping because I watched a bunch of matches with Mick Foley and Sabu in early ECW days.
Sabu was awesome.
And,
yeah.
And we, Sabu was hanging out when we did the,
he was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
We did the
podcast. He was making some food.
He was straight up. He walked by like barefoot with a Superman shirt on and shit.
If you listen listen to the Rob Van Dam episode, if at one point you hear the microwave going off in the background, it's because Sabu was eating up food. And I'm not joking. That fool just rolled in.
And those guys, like, I was cool. Like, and Rob is a cool dude. And I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, like I watched you as a kid.
Right.
But yeah, I did. Like I was watching Rob Van Dam. He was one of my favorite wrestlers and Sabu.
Yeah.
Those guys were like some of my idols when I was in high school, you know? And like,
I had no, I just appreciated by proxy. I just knew you guys were really impressed. And I was like, oh, this is a big fucking deal.
those guys shaped part of my childhood, kind of like the Goonies or something. You know what I mean? Like those things, you know, they shaped what I was doing at the time, you know, and kind of, I don't know. I wonder how much of what I did made me who I am today, made me kind of like I am today, kind of just tough skinned, you know what I mean? Like those type of things, you know, and you have to give credit to Mick Foley, Rob Van Dam, Sabu, those guys, you know, and it's pretty cool, you know, to be able to do that.
And I mean, realistically, you were like one local trainer away from doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pretty much,
if there was a,
if I really wanted to,
you didn't have the hunger to go to another town and train.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do at a
I didn't feel like
age.
That was going to be my lifestyle. But if there
was,
but
I think if there was a trainer here in town, you probably would have, you know, done more and, you know, gotten into it.
Let's get down to it. What was your wrestling name for the record? Cause I know you had one.
I had Stealth Assassin.
Stealth Assassin.
Nice.
I had, what was the other one? We had like three or four. We wore different costumes.
Right.
Did you guys make the costumes?
Oh yeah.
It was just like sweats and shit that you cut. It was like very Nacho Libre.
Yeah. I had like a t-shirt cut up that made the ninja mask. Like it was like, it was full straight up, you know, just funny, you know? Yeah. Costume. Like, it was whatever we had, you know? Monday, it was cool.
Monday, Tuesday, at the latest that drawing exists, the Stealth Assassin.
Yeah, it's coming out.
I did a front flip leg drop. It was my, that was his. Move. Yeah. And then I had, I forget the other character I had. I have to, there's a guy that I wrestled with. He grew up, his childhood friends. And when I first met him, he hated black people. Like he came from Oildale, racist.
Wait, what's his name? I know this guy.
Jeremy King.
Fucking no, but.
But he moved now. Once we got a little older, he moved to Pennsylvania, like met a girl online and moved to Pennsylvania, I think. And I hadn't seen him since. So, but he had video of us, all the rest of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I should hit him up and see if he has it. Like, that'd be funny.
Fuck yes, you should.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It was great times.
And I mean, what you just mentioned makes me think of something else that's unique about Mick Foley, which is in professional wrestling, when you make it big, you go through multiple names coming up through the ranks, and then ultimately a name takes and you get big, and then the other names go away permanently.
Yeah.
Like it's as if they never existed. Like
pretty much.
You disavow.
Yeah. Cause what was the Rock? He was like some weird funny name. Yeah. Like,
I saw
like
last night.
The Hawaiian, like something.
But they all do. Yeah. They all do that.
Yeah. At one point he had like a fucking country accent. And shit.
Uh-huh.
And you smell what the Rock's cook. Like, I was like, what is happening? What is he doing? I saw it last night.
But the thing that Mankind, awesome,
yeah, Mankind, he, Mick Foley, Mankind stuck.
But he just, but he would,
love.
He would go back to all of them
Dude
all
love.
The time. He was Dude, he was
I forgot
Dude,
about
love,
Dude Love.
Dude Love, Cactus Jack, Mankind, and Mick Foley.
But he was Cactus Jack in the Japanese death matches and in ECW.
Right.
And then he was doing ECW and WWF at the same time.
Yes, he was.
And he was Mankind in one, Cactus Jack in the other.
And then he would sometimes become Dude Love. And then like, even when he had a bunch of heat in WWF, he was Mankind. And then he would show up at WrestleMania
as
Dude
Foley.
Love.
Or Mick Foley.
And it was just like, I mean,
that he was called Cactus Jack Manson at one point in time because he had a stalker.
I don't remember
her last
that.
Name was Manson. And
yeah,
she
very early
the
on.
Shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. So he took her last name.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, the promoter weird. Said that this, you need to take the stalker's last name because that would be funny.
Right.
And then plus it also sounds like Charles Manson. And then he did it, but he said that he was like super uncomfortable with it. So as soon as he left that particular promotion that he ended up getting out of it, that was when he was, I forget where it was.
That was WCCW.
Yeah, WCCW.
So many acronyms.
Texas-based small group.
I was reading that he was like,
oh, I think the one here was WCCWF. Like it was like the longest name ever. Yeah, it was like, I don't even remember now.
I saw that at some point, like his thing was to like laugh hysterically and just like choke people while shrieking into the air and screaming bang, bang.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that about?
Still, that was Mankind.
That was Mankind.
Bang, bang. Like he used the, Mankind was a tribute to Jim Henson.
Puppet thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he had a sock puppet and he would just stuff it in people's mouths.
And that was, again, that's what he would do. It's part of the, like, it's why he was a genius in wrestling. Cause again, even if you did, if you switched up from one character to another, you had a different finishing move from one character to another. All of Mick Foley's characters had the same finishing move, which was I stick my hand in your mouth.
Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, yeah.
Cause fuck you.
And I forget what he called. He called it. It was the mandible claw.
The mandible claw.
Then
yeah.
It turned into Mr. Socko when he put a sock on his hand.
Oh, it was Mr. Socko. Yeah.
But then when he was Dude Love, it was something, it was called something else when he was, but it was the same exact move. He just called it something different. And
the
he just
finger
did the same fucking, that's right.
A hippie fist.
I don't know. Hippie
but
fist.
He was definitely awesome.
The tonsil tickler.
That's right.
All these are sex moves.
Yeah. But yes, indeed. But he ends up getting started in ECW back when it was called the UWF. And
that's a frequency you can broadcast on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And, he starts doing the early hardcore stuff and, he ends up getting a big enough, bunch of heat from doing the early ECW stuff that he joins the now defunct WCW. And this is in like 91 through 94. And, to me, as a fan of wrestling, I would have to say that in my mind, I believe that era where WCW existed, ECW existed, and WWF existed was the best era for wrestling.
Oh, for sure.
Because it was three different productions run by three different people. It was Vince McMahon, Ted Turner, and Paul Heyman, and they legit had to compete with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So like now it's all Vince McMahon and he acts like Tuesday night is fucking with Friday night and there's this fake rivalry where they try to outdo each other, but it's all just in-house.
Right.
Back then they legit were trying to steal each other's stable. Trying to get
wrestlers.
Yeah, they were trying to fucking do all that. And they had to have the best writing and the most gonzo matches because you had to steal the other guy's ratings. And it was just all of them, just the competition kept them at the top of the game.
That's back when you were saying that Rob said, like, dudes, like, show up at the other match and, like, meet you in the alley and shit. Like, legit parking lot want to fight
legit
you.
Legit parking lot.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, I don't think people understand about wrestling is, and we said, wrestling's fake. It's a storyline, it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys don't fucking like each other.
And you do
like,
not bring
for whatever
your,
reason. I
think I
don't know what it is.
Might be like the wrong term. Like they're probably still offended by that. It's like choreographed. And
right.
Like,
well, it's entertainment is what I'm saying. Like, it's choreographed entertainment. And it's not even really choreographed. Like Dave said, there's a script. This person, you're going to come out, you're going to do this and you're going to win by using this.
This is what I realized about last night is like, I tried really hard to watch a lot of it and it was like forceful to me. It was like me trying to watch Grease, to be honest. Like, I appreciate the artistry of it and the talent and the athleticism and the gymnastics and the fucking pain that they endure, but I am just not fucking into it. Like, I don't like musicals.
Right.
And I just fucking don't like the soap opera show, like, the thing of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I appreciate, holy shit, that's a nail sticking in your head. Your tooth is in your nose.
It's basically, and that's like the extreme side of it. Like there's, like I said, the Japanese deathmatch stuff. If you haven't, if you're into wrestling and you don't know about Japanese deathmatches,
I'll post a link in the show notes to one with the one that you shared with
that's
with
a good one
earlier.
That's a classic one
and it's a Mick Foley death match, so it's definitely worth checking.
And he toured Japan and like fought these other Japanese crazy fucks, man. Like they just like,
and it was, and again it was after, and a lot of people do that as they're building their name,
right?
Like he had already been in ECW,
he's
he had already been in WCW, he was already doing TV commercials,
this
he was already
bread and butter. Like he loved
and,
He loved it.
He left WCW to go to Japan and do crazy fucking death matches because that was his gig, you know. But in WCW, he did plenty of stuff. That was where he came up with his bang bang catchphrase. He started out as a heel and was always like running in and fucking with people. He ends up getting he ends up at one point they did a match in WCW. And they took away the protective mats on the concrete floor around the ring because there's always mats down.
I don't think that was planned though. Yeah, that's
right.
When he fucking lands and legit like gets a concussion and can't feel his fucking foot.
He loses all sensation in his left foot.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny, he's missing his front teeth, but that was from a car accident.
Yeah, the
it's not even from all this crazy shit.
Exactly.
That he was, just played it in.
He just left it and was like, yeah, I look crazy now.
And he wanted to, like, he wanted to play up the storyline and be like, I got fucked up. Like, let's seriously do that. And then they, like, took a wacky comedy angle, which they tended to do with Mick Foley. In general, his angles got really funny and wacky really quick because he was good at it, you know. But
always making fun of the fat guy. Yep. That's why.
So, but yeah, and then after that, he ends up going on a WCW European tour, and this is where he loses his ear. So, like, even before he was doing his crazy fucking Japanese deathmatch shit, you can see the footage of it, and it's fucking gnarly.
Yeah, and WCW is pretty
tame.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I thought about it because, like, in collegiate wrestling in high school and in jiu-jitsu, like, you pull yourself out of a front headlock, or you get your head out of a guillotine,
you feel like
you're going to rip your fucking ear off.
Right.
So they put him in something called a hangman in the top rope. So they twist it around his head.
Yeah, it's pretty common move, except these, since it was a touring, I mean, I guess it's always touring, but it was a European show, and they had the ropes way too tight. And that makes that move incredibly dangerous if the ropes are too tight, because there has to be a certain amount of give. So, like,
He
was legit getting choked, and he had to, like, pull himself free from the ropes that were too tight. And he just, like, he didn't tear his ear off doing that, but he fucked his ear up.
Is that where they hang the feet over and catch them in the ropes and then put their head through the other rope?
Like the twist.
Like I said, it's pretty common, but if the ropes are tight, it's a rope Ezekiel choke. Yeah.
So it didn't rip his ears off, but it actually tore the flesh on the back of his ears.
Right. And so he gets stuck in there, and he can barely get out. He frees himself out, and
this is against Vader.
And when he's fighting Big Van Vader, Vader, which is, I mean, again, it's pretty common. If you do it, like, if you watch a headbutt in wrestling, you tend to see that they grab your hair and or your ear, and then they pull your head towards them and then kind of connect or back off or whatever. But part of the motion is them pulling you forward. And then that way they can sort of control where you stop the forward momentum. Right. So you don't get full collision, but he grabs him and pulls,
smashes him.
And when he pulls, you see the footage, and he pulls, and you just see his ear fucking come off and land on the floor of the ring. And the fucking ref runs over, picks up the ear, and runs and throws it to the ring announcer. No, he gives it to the ring announcer so that they can save it. Which tells you something about the refs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, put this in a baggie.
Oh, ear protocol. Yeah. Pick it up. Give it to the
announcer. He's coming. Save it. Put it in a Ziploc.
There was a procedure in place of your ear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then the fucked up thing is, so his ear gets torn off, and then, like, he was on the verge.
Actually, it was in Europe. So he's like, save this ear, cunt.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what they say in Europe. Yeah. And again, like, at the time, Vader was like, I didn't rip your ear off. And
he
then
swore it happened in the ropes, and then went back watching.
And then when he watched the footage,
he's like, sorry, I ripped
your ear off.
Fucking Mike Tyson.
I mean, you just watch it come off. Yep. But
so this sparks the rivalry between him and Vader, which they have a death match in Texas, the Texas Massacre.
But before that, though, he was supposed to go up for the championship belt in WCW.
And since
he got his ear torn off,
he had to make a choice.
They basically said, you can either go through surgery and we sew your ear back on, you're going to need to be out of the ring for X amount of time in order to get your ear to heal.
Couldn't they bandage it up and made him look like he was like,
And he was like, nope, I just won't have an ear because I want the belt. So he just sacrificed the ear so he could get the WCW championship.
But I would have to
think,
like, the stump of ear had to be, like, cauterized or something.
I'm sure.
Put gunpowder on that motherfucker and lit it like Rambo.
Quick clot.
Well, there was probably a very limited, like, your ear is torn off, we can sew it on right now, and it can't get damaged.
I looked at some pictures. It's pretty fucked
up. Like, I mean, if you reattach a body part, you need to pretty much leave it be for a while. Yeah. Like, you're not going back in the ring in a week and getting your
kind of has to graft back together. And
right.
All that
so,
stuff.
But
my,
yeah,
my dick was down for like 6 weeks, and I had to give the monkey back to the
when they reattached it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That shit's dangerous. Yeah.
Stretched it out though. It broke my suspendatory ligament. So I got 2 inches.
Suspendatory ligament.
Yeah. I got a couple inches out of it. It's not the same though, to be honest. I come to the left now.
Never gets hard.
No, it gets hard, but it's all the wrong time.
It's always flat. Nah, looks like a flatbread.
After I finish.
That's why he's mad. It looks like one of the flatbread sandwiches Subway. Yep.
With jalapenos and the melted cheese on it. It's all scar tissue.
Ooh.
It gives it texture though.
So he leaves WCW. He goes back to ECW for a couple of years. And this is when ECW is legit. It's a big phenomenon. It's really, really gained some speed.
And it really was the best wrestling federation out there.
It really was. And they were fucking hardcore. And you'll still hear it to this day. Like if someone in any wrestling league does something crazy, if they get thrown 20 feet through a table, if they get fucking their head split open with a fucking fire extinguisher, like anytime something really crazy happens, the entire crowd starts to chant ECW, ECW.
Oh, really? Is that now?
It still happens to this day.
Wow.
Cause, and I went to a couple of ECW pay-per-views and matches with Rob.
Yeah.
And oh my God. Jesus, mother God, like they were so great. Fucking awful.
That's all we watched, like growing up,
God
man.
God damn. But so he does that and he goes through a whole story arc. And then after that, after the second ECW bump is where he goes to Japan, and he goes to a small place called the Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and he goes to Japan because he can do more hardcore shit there, because basically
that's what he loved.
When you're too hardcore for ECW, you're fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
Like that's when people.
Yeah, because they did some shit in ECW.
Right.
It was like, oh shit, you know.
And it would come down to the fact that he would like from everything that I read, he would get ready for a match and he would say, what I want you to do is this and this and this. And the other wrestlers, wisely so, would say, there's no fucking way I'm doing that to you.
Right.
Like, no, Mick. Like, and again, like everyone, and obviously he deserves a praise. When we get to the Hell in a Cell match, everyone gives Foley a lot of credit for what he went through in the Hell in a Cell match, but don't discount the Undertaker for having the fucking balls to do to him what was done to him. Cause no one else would have done that.
I wonder if they knew that chain link was going to fall through. I don't know
there's
if they
debate,
expected that.
There's debate about that particular issue.
Yeah. I watched an interview with a bunch of like the staff and other wrestlers from the time, and they all were just like, it was a pivotal moment.
It made
awe.
It crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, Owen Hart, when he died, you know, he hung himself from the, you know, they were trying to bring him in from the rafters and fucking hung himself, you know, like bring down a dead body.
Yeah.
You know, that happened?
Fuck yeah. It happened. Yeah. Hitman's brother. Yeah.
Yeah. He was flying in.
Yeah. He's flying in and he fucking choked to death.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And they fucking bring the fucking dead body down to the ring and fucking hauled it off.
Is that video just still floating around?
Yeah,
the
I'm sure you can find it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Sure it is. Yeah.
Damn.
It was on a live paper.
It was on a live. Yeah. It was a live show. I watched it happen.
Yeah.
You know, we watched it and they freaked out and fucking, you know, to go on from something like that, you know what I mean? They still did the show. Mm-hmm.
They played it off. Yeah. I bet.
Oh, like, oh, I'm sure. But yeah, it's crazy. Like bad shit.
And again, that's part of the fake realness of wrestling. It's like at the end of the day, like, and again, like we talk about the fact that it's fake, and by fake, we mean choreographed, and by fake, we mean the moves they're doing.
They're
for
not
the most
really
part. They're not really doing.
They're not really UFC punching each other in the face.
And I'm not real. Yeah. I'm not giving you a pile driver. Like I'm not driving your head.
But it's a matter of a few inches.
It is a matter of a few inches.
It's a matter of about an inch.
It takes a lot of skill.
It's literally this. It's I'm going to pretend that I'm mad at you, and then I'm going to hit you with this baseball bat.
Right.
Like,
right. Exactly.
But I'll try.
But I'm not going
to
hit you as hard as I can. And you know,
but it's still, if I half swing a baseball bat at you and you put your arm up, it still fucking hurts.
But no, and it's not if I half swing a baseball bat at you, it's if fucking Triple H half swings a baseball bat.
Yeah, those guys' arms like, are fucking,
let's just elevate the comparison of who's doing the swing.
Yeah, mine would do much more damage at half speed, but
and you can't,
you still
got to
give Triple H credit,
right?
You can't stop and get mad because the show must go on,
right?
Well,
right,
you know, it's one of those things you have adrenaline. Like it's like if you're sparring, you know, you have a little bit of adrenaline, somebody fucking punches you in the face. Doesn't hurt as bad.
I wonder how often,
but tomorrow, it fucking hurts.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it
but gets, also you
know, we've
up.
All probably done that thing where you like, you wrestle your friend like, ha ha ha, ha ha.
And then it starts getting,
and you start wrestling and you're like, hey, let's stop. Like we're in the front room. You're going to get, someone's going to get mad.
Well, but the other thing is though, like the people who are really professional and don't mean to hurt somebody when they do the lockup, right. When they're standing there and they lock their heads next to each other, they'll be like, oh fuck, are you okay, dude? Like I didn't, you know, and I think if someone said that, that's all you would need to hear. Yeah. And you'd be like, yeah, I'm cool. But if they did that lockup and all they're talking about is the next move that's going to make them look good.
should I get?
Like, yeah. And that's the, I guess that's part of the thing is the people who are real assholes. It's like they get their marching orders of what they need to do that episode. But then all that they want to do is make every move, make them look good and make you look like an asshole. Yeah. So they get more heat.
That's the thing I watched said McFoley didn't like a guy. And then the very next scene was him like fucking teabagging the dude's face and putting his ass on his face. And I was like, he's like, yeah, they had a real beef. They didn't get along at all. So when they talk shit, he go fucking like run in his fucking room and say all this shit to him. And then he fucking like teabagging him. And I was like, oh,
no, I forget who that was.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause like,
was
I
mean, it, oh, it was, that, it was Ric Flair. He and Ric Flair had he and Ric Flair had a legit beef, and Ric Flair always called. He said, "You aren't a wrestler; you're just an overpaid stuntman." And he always said, "You're a fucking old piece of shit, and you've never known how to wrestle, and you don't know how to wrestle now." And like they had like a genuine. They would say this shit backstage, and then they would, and then Vince put him in a rivalry on air, so they got on stage and said the same shit to each other that they said backstage. But yeah, so but we'll, like I said, we'll post some of the deathmatch stuff. But so the deathmatch tournament that was in 95, which I think is the one that you shared with us.
That's the that was the Texas one for Halloween Havoc. That's the one where he fought Vader. Like,
no, the one that you shared was him with Nakamaki.
Oh yeah. And that's a good. That one's a classic one. Yeah. That one's not even the crazy ones. Like I said, they had fucking bats with nails through them.
Right.
And I was saying this before the show, where like, fucking hit each other in the head, and then the fucking the guy's running around with the fucking bat hanging off of his head, or just think about a 3-inch nail sticking out of a bat.
Yeah.
And fucking this guy swinging the bat into your back while you're on all fours.
Right.
Into your spine.
Dude, and yeah, on this match,
that could paralyze you.
Yeah. On this match, there's a big fucking plank of wood covered in barbed wire that they keep throwing each other into. It's there's barbed wire. Like, it's not. So
the setup on the match is like in the ring, there's nothing when they start. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's not. But then there's shit outside the ring. So like, he fucking gets, is it Nakamaki? He gets him to the side of the ring, and then he fucking like run and fucking double leg drops his face. So he kicks him off the mat, and he lands on a fucking nail of a bed of nails.
Right.
And whether those things are sharp or not, you're fucking, this guy's probably 300 pounds.
There's no whether they're sharp or not question, because at one point Nakamaki like rolls McFoley towards it, and Foley barely grazes the bed of nails, and you see the bandage on his arm from his earlier match just get fucking shredded. You're just like, and then his arm's bleeding, and you're like, oh my God, that's a bed of nails.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fucking, and the thing
I will post the video in the show notes, but if you are squeamish and don't like the sight of blood, and you might not want
to watch this. And when they're punching and kicking each other, you know, like WWF, it's like the fake punches.
Right.
They're fucking like, they're pretty legit punches and kicks. Yeah. Like they're kicking each other pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
But that's part of the show. It's a death match. Right. You know what I mean? They're not really
blood
trying to
all
kill
over each other.
There's blood all over.
Oh yeah.
And this is their, this isn't their first match
of the day.
Yeah. Like the other dude's bandaged up.
Yeah.
And
they're
shit.
Both
like,
bandaged
they're
up when they get
up.
There. And so he ends up beating in this particular thing. He beats Nakamaki. And then the final is him and Terry Funk, who had like a years.
Terry Funk
feud.
Was crazy too. Yeah.
And, this one was there was barbed wire rope, barbed wire and C4 on a board. They called it
the explosive
time bomb death match.
Are you allowed to have C4? I don't think you can
in Japan.
Have C4. Yeah. Oh, in Japan. Yeah. Maybe.
So,
they fucking, you know how they do the fucking, I'm going to throw you to the ropes. Nope. I'm throwing you to the ropes. And they'd throw him into the barbed wire and that shit would explode.
And here's the thing again, keep in mind, Mick Foley is top of the wrestling game. He's just got done with a stint on WCW. He just got done on a stint on ECW. The announcers at this match are even talking about the fact that, you know, this ain't America anymore, Mick Foley. You're not in a Chef Boyardee commercial, because he's fully doing endorsements and shit. And for this particular match where he got burns on his body from C4 and lacerations from barbed wire, he got paid $300. Yeah. And he said, quote, looking back at that match in Hanjo is probably the best, is the performance I'm proudest of.
Yeah.
Like his fighting on that day. So that's why he went to Japan.
I mean, the greatest reward though is that we mentioned it, really.
Right.
I mean, it's all worth it now.
Yeah. Now.
Now it's worth
it. Now, 2018. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He finally made it.
It came full
circle. Right. So then in 96, he joins WWF, and
heyday of WWF.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking, he got really confused though. It was the World Wildlife Federation though.
Yeah, he didn't know. Yeah, he was beating up pandas.
Panda conservation, trimming bamboo.
Fucking, fighting kangaroos.
Yeah.
He's like, so, fuck it, I'll wrestle these pandas. You know, they're landing on bamboo spikes and shit.
Yeah, so he just thought it was the panda.
Yeah,
like, right. The guy dressed up. Yeah. Oh, gorilla, huh? Silverback, is that your name?
Is Foley fighting a gorilla? Yeah. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Yeah, just film it.
He's like, hey, bro, it's a really good costume. He rips his arm off. He's like, damn.
So he becomes Mankind.
Are you ready for the mandible claw?
He becomes Mankind in this iteration, and he wears like a leather mask, and he's a mental patient who lives in a boiler room, and that they start to do like boiler room matches where they'll lock him into the boiler room of whatever arena they're in, and they have to get out.
I watched the Undertaker boiler room.
Yeah, that was the big one. That was the predecessor to the Hell in a Cell. But he speaks to a rat named George, which doesn't exist. Like he lives in
an invisible rat.
Yeah. And he shrieks mommy all the time to people.
What the fuck?
His catchphrase is have a nice day as the crazy person. And it started really dark. It was like a dark character, like Undertaker Kane, like from the beyond, like wearing chains, tortured soul. But once Mick Foley was in the persona, they were just like, ditch the dark, just be a crazy person because you're fucking insane. But so he becomes Mankind.
He would hit himself with shit too. Yeah. Like he'd be in the middle of a match and start hitting himself with shit.
Because like, Mankind liked pain.
Yeah. He was,
so fucking nuts.
That's pretty great.
Must have, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. He had to have a completely different definition and tolerance.
He spoke to it being a tolerance of pain.
I think it's an art though. Like you have to take it like he's respected on so many different levels because you're not going to respect a different wrestler the same as Mick Foley because he did everything that the normal wrestler did as athletic and as good as, but he took it far and beyond what any of them would.
And it's also, it's one of the things that I mean, say what you will about Vince McMahon. It's one thing that I respect from him the most is there is literally nothing he has asked anybody in the WWF to do that he himself has not done.
I feel like the Rock should like hook
you
him want up.
Like I'm you're going to get thrown off a cage. You can't bitch to the boss because last year he got thrown off a cage. Like we're going to light him on fire. Last year Vince got lit on fire. Like he and so did his son. Like they went through all the fucking. They took all the knocks that everybody
they took
else
all
did.
All the steroids.
Yep.
All the
same cunts.
Yep. The whole thing. So. And again, just the speaking of how awesome the era was. So what leads to this ultimate match of his is the Boiler Room Brawl. And the Boiler Room Brawl is there's an urn filled with ashes. And whoever can get out of the boiler room and return the urn to Paul Bearer, who was
how clever,
who was the Undertaker's manager.
Yeah.
They would win the match. And he ends up. Undertaker wins and gets the urn to Paul Bearer, but Paul Bearer refuses to take it, which is a total surprise because he's the Undertaker's guy. And then there's a turnaround, et cetera. But this sets up
spoiler, Dave.
But the thing is that this is what was so awesome in this era. They would have like buried alive matches with the Undertaker. There was a match where I can't remember. I think it was Kane versus Undertaker, and Undertaker hit Kane with a lightning bolt. Did you see that match?
How'd they
probably.
Do that?
A fucking lightning bolt hit somebody. Like, I have no idea how they did it. You watch it and you're like, a fucking lightning bolt just hit somebody.
A Tesla coil? Just
like, exactly. Yeah. I have no idea how they did it.
They
but you're like.
A homing beacon on his mask.
Like, it was, top. I mean, this is pre-CGI. This is late 90s. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, a lightning bolt just legit hit that
guy. They did have some great, like, just special effects.
Pyro.
They're live special effects, you know, like, and. You know, pretty cool. Like if I don't know, it's just like going to a huge concert, you know, and the crowd's pumped up, you know, and
how can we make it look real? He's like, just really do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Make
you really
bolt.
Jump off there and let's really have lightning hit it.
So this gets to Hell in a Cell. So Hell in a Cell, there's a 16-foot cage, right? A giant steel cage that they lower down over the ring. And the allegedly, like, all the background chatter is that before the match, and again, if you haven't seen Hell in a Cell, again, pause it, watch it, because we're going
to
start.
The idea is that the two people have to stay in the cage, and they're locked in there, and no one can get out until it's
the winner.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's the two people and the ref are in the cage. Right. No one can get out, and they're going to fucking punish each other.
Two men
so,
in a one-man league.
Exactly. Mick Foley comes out first with a chair, and everybody's like, why has he got a chair? And then he immediately tosses the chair on top of the cell, and everybody's like, what the fuck?
And then he just climbs the motherfucker.
And then he just climbs it. And so apparently he and Terry Funk were backstage, like, planning the match, you know, weeks out, and talking about Hell in a Cell. And Mick Foley said, so, and they were just like, how can we make this the most gonzo thing ever? And allegedly, according to the version that Mick Foley tells in his first book, Have a Nice Day, he said that they started talking, he and Terry Funk, and they were like, what if you climbed up on the ring and had Undertaker throw you off? And they're like, oh, that'd be awesome. And they're like, well, what if I climbed up on the ring and I had Undertaker throw me off, and then I climbed back up on the ring and I had Undertaker throw me off again?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that'd be sick. And then they were laughing about it. And then at one point, Mick Foley looked at Terry Funk and said, no, I'm serious. Like, what if... like, what if he threw me off? Right. And they were like, are you fucking serious? So
it's like nobody knew. And then, like, all of a sudden Mankind climbs the ring.
Right.
And then they're like, Vince McMahon's on it. God damn it. Fucker. Just keep filming.
Right. Right.
You know, and fucking,
well, apparently because even at one point, and this is where the fact and fiction start to get blurry, because all the announcers claim that they had no idea at all what was going to go on. And
they might not have
because you want their genuine reaction.
It might've been the Undertaker probably knew.
Right.
Because he would have had to know to, like, go ahead and climb up the ring. Right. Like, this is what he wants.
Chuck him
but
off.
Vince, yeah, and here's this is what he wants.
An article that I read in Sports Illustrated was that Vince knew because
They probably had to do he probably had to know because of insurance and shit.
But Mick lied to him. And he said that he climbed up during a rehearsal, got on the cage, looked at everything, saw how far the drop was, saw that it was stable enough to do it, climbed back down and told Vince, yeah, we can pull this off. When he never climbed up the cage, he never looked down off of it.
Well, he said in an interview, he said, not to take away anything from the fans, from my image, from my persona. He's like, but when he got up there, he was like, oh, fuck.
Scared.
Like, he was fucking
scared.
He was.
Fuck, yeah.
Because he climbed up there like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't know if I could do that.
So he's my first time climbing up here, and I'm gonna get thrown off of it. Yeah.
And another account that I read a long time ago was that when he told Undertaker, this is what we're doing, Undertaker said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
He said, you can climb up on that cage. I'm not climbing up on the cage, and I'm not throwing you off of that.
There's
cage.
A possibility that Undertaker kills you.
Right.
Like, do you really want to be the guy that killed somebody for a stunt?
But then the lights are on, the pyro's going off, Undertaker
and
enters.
Like, this motherfucker.
Mick Foley's already up there, and he fucking climbs the cage, and they start to, and
at that point though, the Undertaker, that's where you're just like, he could be at this point pissed.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you want to get fucking thrown off the cage?
Yeah.
You're getting fucking thrown off the cage, motherfucker.
Cause I'm not going to stand here and get taunted and look like a bitch. Cause I'm not going up there. Yeah. And if I go up there, the only outcome is me
throwing you off.
So he climbs up, and there's not much of a fight. They headbutt each other a couple times, et cetera. He fucking picks up Mick and just throws his ass off the cage.
Because everyone was like, they thought, no, he's going to catch himself. No, really close to the edge.
He's fucking gone.
And they're like, oh, fuck, he's going
over the
side. And the
thing is, he fucking just destroys the Spanish announcer table while the Spanish announcers are sitting at the table. They get fucked up.
Yeah. They're just fucking sitting there like...
It's so
they
awesome.
Clearly didn't know.
No, they
nobody told
not.
The Spanish announcers. No. Fucking Univision was surprised. They're out of business at that point.
So
because and this is all on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking millions of people watching this.
So he's just fucking down and out. The table's destroyed, and they have to raise
There's corn chips everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's fucking mayonnaise, fucking chili pepper, menudo flies, fucking pig feet. Yeah. It's like a fucking Gallagher show right there in the WWF. Fucking front row. They're handing out fucking churros were landing in people's eyeballs.
So they have to raise the cage back up, and Undertaker's still standing on top of it because they have to get an ambulance through. And again, this is where it's like, how much of the, because they seem genuinely freaked the fuck out. Vince comes out, Terry Funk comes out, Sergeant Slaughter comes out, because they're all the backs.
Vince McMahon's face looked like
what
fuck.
The fuck? Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like lawsuit,
I do not
liability.
Think he was acting.
Yeah.
Like if Vince was acting, it would have been 10 times hammier than what he was
he
doing.
He looked pale and sweaty.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, because yeah, because he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Like you don't know. Like that's the thing. Like it, you know.
And they get him on the board, they roll him out, and when he's halfway up the ramp and they're already lowering the cage back down.
I gotta watch this again. I'm watching it again right now because it's great.
As soon as they start lowering it back down, Mick gets up, walks back down, and fucking climbs back up the cage a second time where the Undertaker currently is. And again, the plan, from what I read, the plan was at this point that he was going to do a choke slam on the cage and then start kicking him until he drove him through the cage right. into the mat. But when he choke slams him on the cage, he just busts through the cage.
And his landing was kind of like on his shoulder, sort of awkward. And the fucking chair comes down on his face.
Yeah, it does.
Knocks his tooth
but
into
from
his
what,
nose.
From what I read, though,
that alone would hurt.
Yeah. It said that
16
it said
foot
that
chair.
He landed completely wrong for how you're supposed to land fall. And that if he didn't, he probably would have been dead.
Right.
They say that the fact that he fucked up on how he landed was the thing that kept him from getting as injured as he should have gotten from the, because
he
just
soft.
No, he just kind of landed on his, because you should land on your back, but roll in a certain way, but he would have had too much force for that roll to have done anything.
Yeah.
And he just landed on his side and got fucked up.
Dude,
so
I don't think the tree was this tall, but when I was like fucking, I'm going to say, I was like, I'm even 8 years old. So it's probably my son's age. He's not.
The Spanish table. Oh, man. I had to look at it again. It's so great. Oh, man.
And that announcer is so dazed.
He's fucked up. He just destroys it.
How much fully weigh? Fucking 270 or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
He looks like if you're behind him at Walmart, he looks like one of the fat chicks in spandex.
Yeah. They announce
like,
him.
Get out of the way.
They announce him as 287 on the mat.
Yeah. Damn. Well, I was going to say, it's like I had this treehouse connected to an apple tree in my backyard. I mean, the apple tree had to be fucking 20 feet tall. It was tall. And I would climb to the top of my treehouse, but to get back down from the top of the treehouse, you had to do that like leg over and reach for a branch on the apple tree.
Right.
I fucking like the little branch I put my foot on broke. My uncle and my dad were barbecuing and drinking beer, and they fucking just heard snap, looked over, and I went head first down with my back up against the fucking trunk of the tree, and it was just all snap, 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 all the way down head first with my back against the tree and my fucking chin. I just luckily like the branches and shit were like knocking my head to my chest. So my chin dug into my chest and I landed in the fucking dirt across the back of my shoulders and the back of my head just all boom, like piled onto myself. But I was little. I was like 8. So gravity wasn't phasing me and I was made out of rubber still.
Right.
And I fucking rolled away and my uncle and dad were like, oh my God, he's gonna be paralyzed. He's fucking dead. Came running over to me, picked me up and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, oof, like just fucking scared. Like, am I going to cry? Am I okay? And then they just fucking like dusted me off and they're like, move your head, move your hands. Like, nah, fuck it. There's like drinking cans of Budweiser.
Right.
Slapped me in the ass, said, don't climb up there anymore. And just fucking sent me off the swing
because
set, you know?
What you need to keep in mind, all of you parents out there, if your child falls from a tree and lands on his neck, the first thing to do is stand them up and have them move their head.
That's,
this is it was
that's
the fucking,
what you don't do.
It's the 80s, dude. We rode in the back of the truck.
Yeah,
they're just like, get in the back. We don't have enough seats. Just lay down. Don't sit up because we'll get a ticket.
Right.
That was the whole concern.
Right.
Hold those beer cans that are rattling around back there.
Yeah.
It was. I remember it being so cool just watching the trees and me and my friends trying to guess, like, how many telephone pole wires did we cross? Did we turn it again? We turned again, I think we're home. And then we'd like sit up.
Right.
Dad'd be like, get down, you can get goddamn ticket. Hold them beer cans. Like fucking those are the days.
So Foley on his first drop dislocates his shoulder. Climbs back up with a fucking dislocated shoulder. He must have relocated it.
That's what he took him to the
back.
Yeah. He didn't make it to the back. I think they popped it back in when he was on the stretcher. And then
he gets off that stretcher though.
He gets off the stretcher.
Yeah, he rolls
climbs
off the stretcher,
back up.
Yeah.
When Foley goes through and you see Undertaker jump down, when he jumps, he fucking does a wobble because he had a broken foot.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
I was going to say, he had a broken foot.
So when he lands, you see the, oh, fuck, like just a half a second on his face and you see that knee kind of buckle because he just jumped out of the cage into the ring and landed on a broken foot.
Oof.
And that cage is wobbly as fuck, too.
It was wobbly.
The choke slam through the cage was planned.
Yeah.
Because the way he throws him right into a specific panel.
And that's,
and
again,
panel,
that's,
it just comes down nice,
that's what's
nice
argued.
And clean.
That's what's argued is that, because some people say it wasn't planned. Some people say it was
planned.
Right.
You don't just do that shit. Like that, that's the way to live in infamy right there. Right.
Either that or they told the Mexican table they were going to have to fucking take the fall. So they built the fence.
Well, if you, I mean, I'll check it out. It's like 9/11, you know, like the Mexicans, they just didn't get told not to go to work that day.
Right. Right.
Like it's fucking, yeah. Their shit got exploded.
Yikes. And again, one of the good things about this era was the fact that Jerry the King Lawler and JR were the announcers because they were just fucking magical. The shit they say throughout this match.
Yeah, I don't know. And this is before I recognize their voices.
The only thing between Mick Foley and the ground right now is imagination.
Yeah. That's before fucking, what's his face had paralysis.
Yeah. Before he had the face paralysis.
JR.
Yeah. So yeah. And then at that point they, get down there and you see like the infamous shot is Mick Foley smiling at the camera and there's a tooth in his nose.
Yeah.
Because it got sucked up through his sinuses and something came out his nose. And they say that he was smiling in spite of all of it. And they say he was smiling to show off the fact that he lost his tooth, but he persists. I wasn't smiling to show off the fact that I lost my tooth and I wasn't actually smiling. I was sticking my tongue through the hole in my lip.
Oh, he's doing, yeah.
To show people that I just, there was a big enough hole in my lip for me to stick my tongue through it, except my beard was so long you couldn't see my tongue sticking through my lip. It just looked like I was smiling. Yeah. So it wasn't as awful as they thought it was. It was a totally different awful that they didn't think it was.
So his bottom tooth went through his fucking face and ended up in his nose. It was a bottom tooth.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I picture it was like another top tooth came out or something. Yep. Damn.
So he ended up, he dislocated his jaw at some point in that match. And then of course he goes under and grabs a fucking 20-pound sack of thumbtacks and they start playing in the
as if the punishment wasn't good enough. So that's one of the greatest hell in this. That's why I'm saying like people that don't like wrestling, like, and you watch UFC is great, you know, for what it is.
Yeah,
but
moments
like these in wrestling they're fantastic.
Oh,
you know, like they're it's just awesome that these guys did what they did. And this guy gets thrown off a cage, gets fucking choke slammed through the cage into the mat, and then goes and gets a fucking bag of thumbtacks.
And he dumps those thumbtacks.
Yeah.
She's just sprinkling with his hand.
Yeah.
Then he dumps the shit out.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is
Taker gets thrown in some of the thumbtacks, but the bulk of the damage is
it's just Undertaker beating the shit out of Mick Foley is all it is.
There's a reality show called Holy Foley and it's like his family. It's surprisingly good. I watched that shit last night and it's pretty genuine. Like a lot of times that shit seems really script, but it's like, no, those are his kids and they're fucking like out of shape video game playing fucking whatever. And like, you can tell his wife, like they legitly are like arguing about things and it doesn't seem scripted at all. And daughter's trying to aspire to get into the what's it called NXT or whatever tryouts. She's trying to be in the industry.
NXT?
Yeah, it's like is it the female thing or something? What is
it? It's the wrestling? I don't know if it's specifically female or not, but it's the a reality show where the winners of the reality show get a contract on WWE.
So she's going to those tryouts, but you can tell like she's still daddy's girl. Like girl's like 24, 25, and like the legit relationship is like super genuine. I was like, damn, I wouldn't think I could watch this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Normally it seems really scripted where they're starting fights and there's all this bullshit going on. But what I was mostly impressed was he seems very able-bodied. I was like, that motherfucker, he thinks he would have a cane and look like Yoda and be like hunched over and limping. And he looks like he feels better than I do. Like he's fucking walking around and shit and he seems fine.
Well, when he
was able to do all that stuff and keep doing it. Yeah. So,
but when he got out, I know
you think
that
once you slow down though.
I forget what it was though, when he got out of WWE, like, you know, a couple of years after the Hell in the Cell match.
He got adamantium.
He kind of had to get out. Yeah. It was like you're going to be paralyzed if you stay in here and keep doing this. And that was one of the reasons that he had to stop wrestling, just for health reasons. But and then he kept going, and even after Hell in the Cell, like he had just an amazing run with The Rock. He and Rock were tag team partners and they were called the Rock and Sock Connection because he had Mr. Sock. It was so fucking good. Just watching him and
The Rock
riff
on
each
other. The Rock puts in a call for his daughter to get like someone to come talk to his daughter about what to do for camp and shit.
Yeah.
So they're still friends, but damn, you feel like he'd be like, hey homie, you want to be in Jumanji or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, he's not necessarily an actor.
Right.
You know, Jungle Man. He's totally an actor.
Well, I mean, movie acting's different.
That's where The Rock did it. I don't know. He could be the Jungle Man. Yeah, give him something, man. Yeah.
But so he ends up doing that. And then he leaves. He goes to TNA for a couple of years. And then as of now, he's back on WWE. But he doesn't really wrestle. He's always like the commissioner. He's always,
taking part.
He gets in every once in a blue moon and takes a bump. But those days are over.
They need a good movie where The Rock and McFoley play themselves. But later in life, where they get like in some kind of tangled up shit, like they have to rob a bank or something.
That'd be a good. Yeah,
they're like, good. You remember the fucking Jock in the Sock or whatever the fuck it's called? He's like, we're
Rock
doing
and Sock Connection.
Yeah. You remember the Hep C Inferno? Yeah.
It's like Shake and Bake.
Yeah, Shake and Bake, buddy. We're gonna do this, and they like take out the bank robbers or some shit.
They dress up in their old wrestling uniforms to rob the bank.
Yeah,
Mick Foley takes his shoe off. He's like, what are you doing, Socko? Like he's fucking.
I'm improvising.
Although at the end of the day, Mick Foley mostly still does dress in his old wrestling outfit. Yeah. Like he wears brown tights
and fucking loose
shirt. I think
that
would be an amazing fucking movie. Yeah,
that'd be funny.
Yeah, that would be an amazing movie. So another big thing that made him extra famous is right when he was at the top of his game, he wrote when he was recovering from a surgery, he wrote his first book, Have a Nice Day. And like, I remember they were like hyping it up a lot on WWE, and everybody was just like, give me a fucking break. This guy wrote a fucking book, and it just exploded. New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
It got like rave reviews. Everybody said it was like really well written. Cause in general, people look at professional wrestlers and don't think they're going to be smart,
right.
I suppose, but very well written. But he's written multiple New York Times bestselling books. He's written a line of children's books, which are pretty fucking funny. He's written a couple of novels. He's gotten into a lot of charity work. Like oddly enough, he listened to a song called Winter from the Little Earthquakes album from Tori Amos. And apparently he fell in love with Tori Amos and with that song. And he like obsessed with wanting to get to meet her. And he met her at the 2008 Comic-Con. And like, she runs a group called the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And he like went all in and like started to like devote all this time. And like, they're like actual friends now, right. Like him and fucking Tori
Amos. Seems like
Amos.
A cool dude,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Like, and he the said, dad situations on that show, you're like, that's a fucking, he's a good dude.
Yeah. What's apparently he said for that thing,
he's
he said, anyone who gives $5,000, he went and mowed their lawn.
That's awesome.
That's so dope.
Mow to grass mankind.
Exactly. But, and he does lots of stuff with autism, with Make-A-Wish Foundation, like tons of stuff. But yeah, the at the end of the day, if you're unfamiliar with Mick Foley, and if you've got the, as Vince McMahon would say, testicular fortitude to watch a really awful thing happen in a cell, then go watch Mick Foley.
Yeah, if you don't want the blood and stuff, like the Hell in a Cell match,
Hell in a Cell
is great.
Yeah,
if you want to see him get fucked up and fuck some dudes up,
watch
check out Japanese
death
match
with Mick Foley.
With Mick Foley, or search Cactus Jack. Anything with Cactus Jack, he's going to be ECW, and he's going to be flying off of shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I think
I'm still
going
to get on Amazon and order the documentary anyway, even though it's after.
It's a good watch
because it interests me enough that I want to watch it.
He's a good character, you know what I mean? He's actually a good person, and he's just a fucking crazy motherfucker. Yeah. Like, he seems like a normal guy, and then like, he's just fucking nuts, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
He's legit.
Right. Is that it's sponsor time?
Yep.
I have a social media winner to announce. It's someone we all know and love.
Ooh, who?
Jenny Schmuck.
Who the fuck is that?
You know who that is.
Oh, I do know that.
Yeah, it's David Schmuck's wife.
Yeah.
What kind of dog would she be if she was a whore?
She was a whore or just a dog?
No, if she was a whore, what kind of dog would she be? Yeah.
Probably like...
Dave, this is all you, man.
Yorkie.
If Jenny Schmuck was a whore, what kind of dog would she be? Yorkie.
Wait a minute, that's David Schmuck.
That's right. That's what you're thinking of David, for sure. David.
French poodle.
American poodle. They're fucking whores.
Yeah, you're right.
Like walking around with their pussies hanging out. Fucking
dirty
stupid dog.
Like they look like they need a procedure done or something. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's
dirty.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, no, that's
ungroomed.
Like. Yeah.
Fucking horrible dog.
You shave it, you're like, what is that? An African flower? That's strange.
Yeah.
Looks like something from Predator. By the way, I watched Predator. I know I'm more off track, but I watched Predator. I hadn't seen Predator in years. Mm-hmm. I was sitting with my son to catch a predator.
He was on to catch a predator.
Man, that'd be a good mashup.
To catch a predator.
He's like, why don't you go ahead and come in here real quick? He's all.
Oh,
over here.
Yeah. It's like, want what, some do you, cookies? What do you, yeah. What do you, what's the six pack of Zimas for there, Predator?
Yeah.
Six pack of Zimas.
So you have condoms there next to your self-destructing computer.
Magnums, huh, Predator?
He just toasts all the cops outside.
Like Danny Glover. It's Danny Glover doing the interview.
To catch a predator.
Wow.
I think it's Arnold. That'd be a good shirt, too, just for predator.
It's not Chris Hansen, though. It's fucking Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
the interview.
Yeah. Yeah. When Danny Glover, part two.
But yeah, no, we watched that and I just fucking had no idea how gory that shit was. I was watching it with my boy and we're sitting there watching it.
Fucking
and I was like, that was kind of scary when they finally show the predator and then they like move some jungle fucking vines back and there's like three skinned bodies just fucking hanging there by their intestines. I was like, oh fuck.
The thing that was extra legit about that movie was the fact that the way they marketed it when it hit the theater was it's just a Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie.
Yeah. Like, and he's in the jungle.
Yeah. War in the jungle. And you're just watching it and it's like, oh, this, and then like all of a sudden, like an hour into it, you're like, what the fuck is in the trees?
Like Tropic Thunder.
And then it's like all of a sudden, like there's a fucking alien.
Yeah.
Like it was just so surprising.
But I was like, dude, that heat vision, you couldn't fucking make it to 7-Eleven. Like you couldn't get anywhere with that heat vision. If he was right on someone, he could see him, but like walking around, like he couldn't get back to his ship. When he takes his mask off and throws it down, like you're never finding that again with that heat vision he has. He couldn't go find his mask again.
Well, that's the downside of being on Earth.
Bullshit. So anyways, what kind of dog
you should
was
watch
she?
Cannibal French Holocaust poodle? With your son.
American poodle. Jenny Schmuck. We didn't say she shared our Rockefeller episode. She's in a, post
she's,
on Facebook.
She's an American poodle in a French maid outfit.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
whore. I think that's so, whore. Yeah.
She wins a t-shirt. If she can make it work with that outfit somehow,
I'm sure she can. Yeah. She'll cut it up and show her belly button and nipples. Probably. She'll just cut holes for her nipples.
Belly button's where I draw the line. That is hoochie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dog pussy online is one thing, but showing your belly button, wieners on the glass.
Walking around flaunting your dog cunt. That's one thing.
It's too much.
It's fucking your belly button though. Put that shit away.
So speaking of that, El Yucateco hot sauce is our primary
sponsor. El Yucateco.
You can find them at most major grocery stores. We have a hot sack or hot box prize weekly. We post on Fridays and we ask for you to participate in that for a chance to win. And actually, you know what? This time I said it wrong. Anna Hodge doesn't win a hot box. She wins a El Yucateco barbecue.
Because
summertime's coming.
Snap. So, El Yucateco.
Barbecue. Yeah, so that she's actually winning that barbecue. I got to figure out how to ship that shit. I don't remember how I did
it. That voice came out way different than I was trying to
do. It's good,
though. That was,
what were we going to say? Cool barbecue. It's an ice chest and a barbecue, and it all zips up into one bag. Cool. It looks cool right now, but I think once you use it, you're fucked. It's like, you got to wait for that shit to cool down. There's ashes in
it. Like, no, it's
dirty now. How are you getting it back in there?
It's Schrodinger's barbecue. It's right now. It's both a barbecue and an ice chest. But once you decide it's a barbecue or an ice chest, it's permanently that forever.
Oh man, that's deep. So anyways, El Yucateco hot sauce. They do have a website. You can buy gear and stuff, that are some of the prizes that we give away. I got some beach towels and all kinds of crazy stuff up there. That's kind of summertime-ish.
Yeah. Cool shit.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of prizes. We're going to switch it up a little bit. So look out for that Friday post. Also thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can log into printdirtcheap.com. And if you want to order stickers or banners or printed goods, you can save some money using code SOFAKING, on their website. Thank you to De Leon Graphics. He does our silkscreen. So that's our shirts and whatnot. And we have those in our shop online at sofakingpodcast.com. Also, thank you to Digital Creations for our heat press goods. There's our coffee mugs also available on our website in the shop section. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com to buy DVD, instructional DVDs, and apparel.
You're fucking
and
up.
If you're local. Yeah, I know. I just start thinking about him in board shorts and then get all dizzy and shit.
It's fucking up.
He had an Olympian at the
school. He's going to go suck his dick already.
No. That's not how it works.
Yeah, judo Olympian.
It's more of just a hard pressure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just pressing. We push. Yes. There's no spoken words. This doesn't get acknowledged. This is as close as I get to acknowledging what really goes down. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, that's that. Yeah. That's awkward.
If you want to see us live, patrons who support us at $10 or more are in a special viewing group, and they get to see us on video. We do a bonus episode on video. You get to hear the bonus episode. This was a bonus episode, right? No.
No, this is a regular
episode. No, it's a regular episode. So bonus episode is a different episode.
Yes. We explain it. We explain it.
We try to. It's yeah. still confusing. It's Brent's confused. Brent doesn't know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and donate even a dollar. If you can't afford it, you don't have to give us $40. If you can't afford it, don't break yourself. Don't, you know, make sure you're paying your rent.
Give us a dollar. Give us a dollar for 40 months.
Give us a dollar. Yeah. It's all good. We know not everybody has, you know, money, but you know, dollar. Even bums have a dollar. I mean, mm-hmm. come on. I've Somebody gave him a dollar.
Exactly.
Somebody gave them a dollar.
Somebody gave them a dollar. Right. Yeah. Right. So give us a dollar. We're not even begging you. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sofa King Podcast. You can check out personal profiles on Instagram at Sofa King Brad, at Sofa King Brent, at Sofa King Dave. Also check out the Captainess _ SK quotes for quotes from our shows that are put together from the South African whore. Prostitute, mm-hmm. prostitute, whore, same thing.
I'm basically
same thing. Also check out at Sofa King Art Unofficial. And also if you're into comics and art, check out at Hilgenfeld. If you want to join the unofficial SK Ultra group on Facebook, just search that and you can get involved in some bullshit probably.
The questions properly.
Answer the questions. Yeah. People don't answer the questions.
You some
don't
people I know are legit on there and like they just did some stupid answer. And I'm like, I'm sorry, principal. And I just hit no. Yeah. So
answer the questions on that. And I think that's it. Is that it? Is that all you got, Dave?
That's it.
Yeah. Save a bee for your tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Good. I killed a bunch of bees. I feel bad.
You should.
I feel bad.
There's like, that's a dwindling fucking species and really important.
Yeah, but they're attacking me. Like I'm cleaning the pool and the fucking bees are attacking me.
Well.
And they die in the pool.
Right.
Not cool. I like bees, but they sting me.
You need to find the source.
Fuck off, bees. End song is called Pink Cocaine by Mike Bogan. Don't be a retard.
Wow. Wow. Dreams alter life, and my life is awesome. It was me, Walter White, and Philip Seymour Hoffman off some wee lean and Sprite. Then we got to talking, and the gleam hit the pipe, and then things got awkward. Coughing, taking caution, but I'm better than the last time. Looking at me stalling, like, well, should I take this last line? Ain't no going back, I got the devil in my past life. Life a game of craps, and I don't really bet the pass line. Cash, crime, sex is how they occupy the bottom feeders. Drugs cure stress, and I ain't never had a problem healing. My life is not make-believe, I don't own no Bible, neither. Hypocrites don't pray for me, I don't need no modern Jesus. Low-key, we used to smoke weed, became distant. Now slowly, she texts emojis that blow kisses. Little Bo Peep, let her nose bleed and seems different. The cold goes to show, say that she knows Pippin. Just a line for the girls doing pink cocaine. Here goes my wish list. Dear Dr. Lipschitz, I've been missing all my misfits. A misfit's what I am. I chose to know I'm about to go, and this is just my plan. I smoke the most, you know the ropes. This a different strain. Pardon who I am, I've been highly ignored. I'm like Roscoe, I get hostile when I knock at the door. So while niggas drive Mercedes or shit, maybe a Porsche, I'ma still be pushing 80 in this Honda Accord. But according to my coordinates, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Lyrics painting pictures only smokers see. And see, hopefully, guess it's dope to see them knock my views. I'll be chilling like a villain, drinking Moscow Mules. So how about you? Feeling awkward and imposter, trying to prosper, but you only putting dollars in your nostrils. It's preposterous how you knocking on a line you really need. And quick to bet it all like Billy Ho and Sidney D. Just a line for the girls doing pink cocaine. This all came in a dream. Now my dream on the run. And if you ask me a fee, I'ma give you a sum. And when she down on her knees, I swear I know what she want. So just hand her a key. I promise she'll take a bump. Pump my music. Pumps is brewing, the hours wasting, shots taking, quick chasing, heart racing, lost patience, time taking, no time at all. And she can't even feel her fall, I'm feeling off. Don't think that I can move, but I'm smooth, able. Never snort the last ball on the pool table. They on call, do it all like a vacuum. It's one stall, eight girls in the bathroom. And you know they all glance when they dance. Got holes in they bands, tattoos on they thighs. And the look in my eyes says I'm fine, but I might Earl. I love you, white girl. Just a line for the girls doing pink cocaine.